The Bible says it's foolish, it's dumb to compare. Why? Two reasons. One, you're always going to find somebody who's doing a better job and you get discouraged. And two, you're always going to find somebody you're doing a better job, then you get full of pride. Discouragement or pride will keep you from serving God's purpose for your life. And so God says, don't do that. Don't compare yourself. When you get to heaven, God isn't going to say, why weren't you more like so-and-so? He's going to say, why weren't you who I made you to be?
Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Well, we're in the last couple of days of our series called God's Prescription for a Healthy Life. In it, Pastor Rick Warren has been showing us how to improve our health physically, spiritually, relationally, and emotionally by applying the five essentials needed for a more vibrant life. If you want to have what it takes to live out your calling, stay with us for this amazing series. But first, if you're looking for the right combination of daily inspiration and encouragement to finally achieve the healthy lifestyle you've longed for, you need the new Daniel Plan 365-day devotional. It's a great way to start your busy day, and you can find out all about it by going to PastorRick.com right now while you listen to today's broadcast. Or you can just text the word DAILY to 99000 to find out more. That's PastorRick.com, or just text the word DAILY to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called The Awesome Power of Faith.
I told my staff, even just this last week, I said, you guys, I want everybody making a mistake, a big one, at least once a week. Okay? Make one at least once a week. Why? Because if you're not making any mistakes, you're not trying anything new. Now, make sure it's a new one. Okay? Okay? If you make the same one over and over and over, you can get fired for that. Okay? Okay? Because that means you're not learning anything. I want you making new mistakes every week because you're trying. And there's nothing wrong. You're not going to get fired for that. It just means you're taking risks. You're growing in faith. And that's how we learn what works. You know, there's a great example in the Bible, in the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel was written when the Jewish nation, Israel, had been uprooted and taken captive over to Iraq. And they had all, and for 70 years, all the Jews lived in Babylon, and they were held captive there. And the guy who was the king at the time was a guy named Nebuchadnezzar. And he made a rule that said, when I ring the bell, they had this big statue made of him. And they said, when I ring the bell, everybody's to bow down and worship this statue, because I'm God. Well, the Jews said, we're not going to do that. We only obey the real God, you know, not some phony idol. And there were particularly three guys who refused to do it. Three young men. They're all in their 20s or maybe even late teens. And their names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, when I was a kid, I thought the preacher was talking about apartments, my shack, your shack, or a bungalow, you know. But actually, they're real people. And Nebuchadnezzar bring these guys in. He goes, oh, all right, boys, I hear you're not bowing down to the statue. And they go, no. And he said, well, I tell you what, if you don't bow down, we're going to throw you into this big fiery furnace. I don't know if they heated the palace with it or what. But he said, we're going to throw you in there and you're going to be a crispy critter. And they said, well, we're not going to do it. In fact, this was their response. Look there on your outline. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O King. Okay, now that's faith. He's able to do it, and we believe he's going to do it. But, notice the next verse, even if he does not, we want you to know, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. I want you to circle the phrase, even if he does not. You see, faith, real faith, does not demand a guarantee of a miracle. It says, we believe God wants us to do this, and we believe God will bail us out because we're going to do this, and God will make us successful, and God will protect us. But even if he does not, because it's not part of the plan, we're still going to do the right thing. Faith does not demand a miracle. Faith says, I'm going to go out, let's say, I believe God wants me to go start this business. I've prayed about it. I've sought advice. It's not just my idea. I've talked to godly counsel. I think it's a good thing. And so I'm going to go out and start. Even if it bombs, it's okay, because even the bombing is part of God's plan. It's not my plan. My plan is for it to be a success. In other words, they're saying we're willing to make our plans and to go God's way. And if it doesn't work out, we're willing to risk failure. In fact, we're willing to give our lives for it. That is faith. Faith is willing to fail, even if that means part of God's plan. I'm going to do this, God, but if it doesn't work out, it's okay. I'm still trusting you because you know I'm doing it in faith. And you know what? God will honor that faith even if it didn't work out the way you intended it to work out. God is more interested in growing your faith than he is in what we do in life. Now, these guys, they're getting ready to be thrown into this fiery furnace. You think they were scared? Of course they were, scared to death. But they went ahead and did it because, as we know, courage is not the absence of fear. It is moving ahead in spite of your fear. If you don't have any fear, it's not courage. You don't need courage for things you're not afraid of. Courage is when you do something and you're scared to death to do it.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. Again, that's PastorRick.com.
Do you have trouble losing weight and keeping it off? Many of us do. Maybe you eat and eat, but never seem to feel truly satisfied. Instead of turning to food the next time that empty feeling comes around, why not turn to God's Word with the Daniel Plan 365-day devotional? It's packed with encouraging scripture passages, motivational tips, and special food for thought, along with a loving note from Rick Warren. The Daniel Plan 365-day devotional book helps strengthen your faith, which is essential to your health. Once you've begun doing the daily devotionals, you'll start to see that feeling truly full can only come from feasting on the Word of God. We'll send you the Daniel Plan 365-day devotional right away when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a financial gift. Go to PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. There are only 48 hours left to get this special offer and receive the new 365-day Daniel Plan devotional. So act now and call 800-600-5004 or visit PastorRick.com.
Once again, here's Rick.
Practically every major accomplishment I've seen in my own life, I was scared to death to do when I did it. I just happen to believe you don't live your life ruled by your fears. You live your life ruled by God. So you go ahead and even do the stuff you're scared to death to do. You just do it anyway. You don't ever not do something because you're afraid. Well, I'm afraid, so I won't go after my dream. Well, that's dumb. You go after your dream even though you are afraid. Just because it's a dream from God doesn't mean there's not going to be any fear. There will, because that means you have to trust in faith. Satan's favorite tool is this fear of failure. The next verse says this: the fear of human opinion disables. What will other people think? If it doesn't work out, I'll look foolish. I'll look dumb. I'll be rejected. It says the fear of human opinion disables. King James says the fear of man is a snare. It's a trap. The moment you or I start worrying about what other people think, we're dead in the water. We're out of the game. We're on the bench. You cannot serve God and be constantly worrying about what other people think. So you have to move forward. The moment you start worrying about others, it's over. You gotta learn to live for an audience of one. God, I'm going to focus on you. I think this is the dream you've given me. I'm going to go after the dream. Doesn't matter the cheers or the jeers, the strokes or the pokes, the complaints or the criticisms or the compliments. I'm just going to keep going. And goals are based on what you believe God can do, not what you believe you can do. And the size of your God, as I said, should determine the size of your goal. So how do you get rid of the fear of failure? How to eliminate the fear of failure? Well, there are a couple ways. There are actually two ways you get rid of the fear of failure in your life. Number one is you redefine failure. That's it. Redefine failure. And that's how you get rid of the fear of it. What is failure? Failure is not failing to reach a goal. Failure is not having a goal. Failure is not failing to hit your target. Failure is not having a target. Failure is not falling down. Everybody falls down. Failure is refusing to get back up. You see, you're never a failure till you quit. And so if you're attempting something for the glory of God, that's a good thing. Failure is not trying and not accomplishing anything. Failure is failing to try. And most people never try to go after their dream. They never even try. You know, I've told you before that when I die, I want you to put four words on my tombstone: at least he tried. We may not reach all of the goals we set in life. So what? The thing is, you die trying. You give your life doing something good and great for God, for the global glory of God. And if you're doing it in love, you can't be considered a failure, because love never fails. So if you're doing it in love, you're not a failure, no matter what the results are. So you redefine failure. Babe Ruth used to say, never let the fear of striking out keep you from taking a swing. The other thing you do to get rid of the fear of failure is you never compare yourself. Never compare yourself to anybody else. Don't compare your husband to somebody else's husband. Don't compare your wife. Don't compare your jobs. Don't compare your hairstyle, your clothes, how green your lawn is, to your neighbors, your car. The Bible says it's foolish. It's dumb to compare. Why? Two reasons. One, you're always going to find somebody who's doing a better job and you get discouraged. And two, you're always going to find somebody you're doing a better job, then you get full of pride. Both of them will mess up your life. Discouragement or pride will keep you from serving God's purpose for your life. And so God says, don't pay any attention to anybody else, because you're always either going to get discouraged, oh, they're doing a better job than I am, or you're going to get full of pride, I'm doing a better job than they are. And God says, don't do that. Don't compare yourself. When you get to heaven, God isn't going to say, why weren't you more like so-and-so? He's going to say, why weren't you who I made you to be? Now, the Bible says this in Galatians 6:4. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else. Notice, did you see that there's a legitimate pride? Did you know that there's a good kind of pride and there's a bad kind of pride? The bad kind of pride is comparing. I'm better than so-and-so. The good kind of pride is, God, I'm proud of what you're doing in my family. I'm proud of what you're doing in my business. God, I'm proud of what you're doing in my life. You're helping me grow. That's okay. That's fine. God, I'm proud of what you're doing in our church. That's good. But what's bad is if you start comparing yourself to others. He says, that's wrong. You see, God hadn't called me to be the best pastor in the world. God has called me to be the best pastor I can possibly be, given the gifts, talents, and experience, the way he shaped me. That's all he looks at. God hasn't called you to be the best husband in the world. Don't hit your wife with that. He's called you to be the best husband based on your shape, what God made you to be. One day, God's going to judge you. He's going to evaluate you on your life. He's not going to say, how did you do in comparison to anybody else? He is going to say, what did you do with what you were given? That's what you're going to be judged on. Did you use the talents I gave you, the abilities I gave you? Did you grow? Did you trust me? You're not called to be the best in the world. You're called to be the best that God made you to be. The other night I was in Albertson shopping, and a guy walked up and said, Pastor Rick, he said, I started coming to Saddleback years ago, back when we were in the high school. I think it was a Laguna Hills High School. And he said, one night, you know, you invited a bunch over for dinner. And he said, you shared your dream in the early 80s of Saddleback Church. And I said, I looked at this young kid and I thought, man, this guy's audacious. And he said, who do you think you are? And he said, you said something that I've now heard you say many, many times. That's the wrong question. It's not who do you think you are, it's who do you think God is. You let the size of your God determine the size of your dream. It's not based on what you believe you can do, which is probably not much, but it's based on what God can do, which is an enormous, unlimited amount. The Bible says all things are possible with God. I told you this before. If you were to go to my office and pull out my dictionary, my library, and look up the word impossible, you would find it's not there, because I cut it out. Took a little X-Acto knife and cut it out. I thought, you know, God, nothing is impossible with God. So if it's not in God's vocabulary, it's not in my vocabulary. You haven't really believed God until you've tried something that can't be done on your own energy and power. To me, hell would be if God were to show me what I could have accomplished with my life if I just believed him a little bit more. That would be hell. So let go of the fear of failure, because anything you're attempting for God and love and in faith, God says, that's a good thing, regardless of the results. Let go of your fear and trust God. Here's step three in learning to live a life of faith. Faith is expecting God to bless and to use me. Expecting God to bless and to use me. Now, Paul expected God to bless him. In fact, in Philippians 1, he says this, I expect and hope that I will not fail Christ in anything, but that I will have the courage now to show the greatness of Christ in my life here on earth, whether I live or die. Paul said, I expect God to bless me. So did David. In the next verse, it says, I believe I shall enjoy the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. If you go through the Bible, you'll find that everybody God uses, it's because they expect him to use them. And everybody God blesses in a great way, it's because they expect God to bless them. Expecting God is an act of faith. Do you know why God uses me? Because I expect him to use me. Not because of who I am, but because of who Jesus is. Not because of anything I've done, but because of what Jesus Christ has already done. I put my faith in God's grace and see results. Now, I can tell you exactly what God's going to do in your life in 2006 in terms of blessing. Exactly what you expect him to do. Not more, not less. Because if you study scripture, you find that every time God moves out of heaven and moves on earth and does a miracle, it's because somebody believed. And the reason why you don't ever see any miracles in your life, you don't expect them to happen. Faith is getting God's dream, being willing to take a risk to head off on that dream, and then expecting God to help you and bless you and use you to accomplish that dream. All three points are essential, and you have to have this spirit of expectation. The difference between winners and losers is always attitude. And attitude means you have to be with God, tuned in, and expecting him to use you. You see, nothing great is ever accomplished without enthusiasm. And how do you get enthusiasm? I'm not talking about natural, just bubbly. Some of you people are naturally tiggers, okay? You just kind of bounce around. You jump around. You're just so fun, and everybody loves you, and it's you'll leave a little mess everywhere, but you're just a whole lot of fun to be around, okay? And you're just bright, and you're happy, and you're cheery, and you're just, by natural ability, you're just a tigger. And tiggers always marry Eeyores. Oh, it's a terrible day. How terrible could it get? Okay, even Eeyores can be enthusiastic. Now, I'm not saying God's going to change your personality and turn you into a tigger. We got enough of them in the world. Okay? Can I hear an amen on that? Okay, we don't need any more tiggers. What we need is everybody having enthusiasm. And where does enthusiasm come from? The Greek word entheos, E-N, theos, means to be in God. En means in, within. And theos means theology, like, or God. Like, theology is the study of God. Theodore means lover of God, and actually Dorothy, which is a feminine of it, is lover of God. Both those names means lover of God. And it's in theos means to be in God. When you get in God, you're going to be enthusiastic. It's not this psychological self-help, pull yourself up by your bootstraps every day in every way, I'm better and better. You know, no, it's in theos. It's the enthusiasm that comes from God. And you know what? It lasts a whole lot longer than a rah-rah rally. It's the thing that keeps you going. When you're in God, you're enthusiastic. The Bible says this, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. God says, you get to choose how much I bless your life. You get to choose how much I use you. You get to choose what I do in your business, in your family, in your relationships. You get to choose what I do in your finances. You get to choose what I do in your hobbies. According to your faith, it will be done unto you. So what do you believe in God for? What are you expecting God to do in your life this year? You say, but Rick, if I really expect God to do great things in my life, isn't that kind of like pride? I mean, why me? If I went out and I got a big dream, I have a big dream, and then I take risks and I'm willing to risk failure to go after it, and then I expect God to help me out, I mean, why should God help me out? Isn't that kind of prideful? That I would, why should I expect to have a big dream? I'm me. Isn't that pride? No, it's not pride at all. The Bible calls it faith. But since you mentioned that, it's important to deal with, how do you have a big dream without getting a big head? How do you have big goals without getting a big ego? How do big dreams and humility go together? Because it's very important. God wants us to live with humility. In fact, pride is the worst sin. Did you know that? It's the worst sin. Pride is what got Satan kicked out of heaven. God hates pride. God says, he says it over and over in Scripture, I hate pride. He is against the proud. He opposes the pride, prideful. Now, the middle letter of pride is what? I. And the middle letter of sin is what? I. It's when I want to be my own God, and I want to do my own thing, and I want to call the shots, and I don't need God. I'll do what I want to do in life. That's called pride. That's the negative kind. We talked about the good time earlier. And so God says, how do I have big dreams without getting a big ego? Well, let me just tell you from experience, it's not very hard for God to humble you. Do you have children? Are you married? Do you have friends? You know, there are 1,000 ways for God to humble you. You don't have to worry about that. God's problem in your life is not how to get you to be humble. He can do that very easily. His problem is getting you to dream bigger than you've ever dreamed before. That's the harder of the two. You say, well, how will God keep you humble when you have a big dream? Oh, there are lots of ways. Let me just mention a few. Number one, you will be criticized unjustly. It is not by accident that the most blessed people, the most blessed businesses, the most blessed ministries are also the most criticized. What's the most blessed retail store in the world? Walmart. What's the most criticized? Walmart. What's the biggest and most blessed fast food chain? McDonald's. What's the most criticized? McDonald's. If you're going to call the shots, you take the shots. And the more God blesses you, the bigger a target you become. So you will be criticized, you know, unjustly.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you'd like a copy of today's message, including portions we didn't have time for, or if you'd like to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional, just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle. You'll find this message and others along with more helpful resources. Do you have trouble losing weight and keeping it off? Many of us do. Maybe you eat and eat but never seem to feel truly satisfied. Well, instead of turning to food the next time that empty feeling comes around, why not turn to God's Word with the Daniel Plan 365-Day Devotional? It's packed with encouraging scripture passages, motivational tips, and special food for thought, along with a loving note from Rick Warren. The Daniel Plan 365-Day Devotional book helps strengthen your faith, which is essential to your health. Once you've begun doing the daily devotionals, you'll start to see that feeling of truly being full can only come from feasting on the Word of God. We'll send you the Daniel Plan 365-Day Devotional right away when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a financial gift. Go to PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. There are only 48 hours left to get this special offer and receive the new 365-day Daniel Plan devotional. So act now and call 1-800-600-5004 or visit PastorRick.com. Now here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
Thanks for listening today. I pray that our time together will be a spiritual blessing that makes you strong. And by the way, I'd love to hear from you. And if you got a little bit that you could send in to help us financially, to help us expand this ministry, I'd really appreciate it. I love you. I thank God for you. And I want you to join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope Ministry and your generous financial support.